Ed Kraft and Rizzo presenting The Truth.
Check, check, check. Microphone check. Hello. This is Dread Radio. Hi. How you doing?
Hopefully it's there.
Yeah, we're on now.
Oh, cool. And you're Reepso?
Yep.
I'm Ed
Who are
Kraft.
You again?
Ed Kraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's today? Thursday?
Yes, it is Thursday. Another Thursday.
Yep. Finally made it through another week.
Nice weather today.
Yeah. Apparently. Hot for change.
Yeah. I like cool. cheese.
Do you?
Yeah.
You can tell we've been goofing off already.
What's happening today? What's going on? Let's get this show rolling.
Same old same, man. I'll tell you. What a week. Staying busy. What about you?
I was just watching a video from Fox News.
Oh, yeah?
Bill O'Reilly playing a commercial that they have for McDonald's in France. And this kid's sitting there, and he's looking at his class picture, and he answers the phone, and he says, yeah, I've been thinking about you, too. I was just looking at our class picture, and then he says, I got to go. My dad's coming because the dude's dad is buying food at the counter. So the dude's dad comes over and says, what are you doing? And he says, oh, you're looking at your class picture. He's like, oh, yeah. I remember when I was your age, I got all the chicks. He's like, too bad your class was all boys. You could get some chicks, too. And the kid just gives him a sly smile, you know. And then the commercial says, we welcome everywhere. Come as you are is what it says. Come as you are. So it's like kind of saying, you know, even if you're gay, you can go to McDonald's, you know.
Yeah, I saw that earlier. That's turned into a big controversy.
Bill O'Reilly makes a comment about, are they going to make one for Al-Qaeda now, too? Because McDonald's has made them not just about homosexuals, but about all different walks of life, saying, if you know, McDonald's, if you're it, just come to McDonald's, you know. Bill O'Reilly's going, does that make you hungry for a cheeseburger? I'm like, you know, it's not, you know, Bill O'Reilly, you're a prick. I hate that dude's guts. God, he's
he probably dumb. Wants a cheeseburger. Maybe it's cheeseburger envy.
I hope Bill O'Reilly goes and gets a cheeseburger and chokes on it.
Cheeseburger envy. That's
hope he
that's
gets
it.
A pickle stuck in his throat and dies.
I don't say that very often
about people, but Bill O'Reilly is really a waste of space. Bill O'Reilly is really, I think they could just take a big, like, rotting tree stump and put in that chair. It would make more sense than Bill O'Reilly. In Fox News, the ratings would probably go up. I'm just guessing, but I'm just saying.
Well, it's dying down. It's really dying down. It's gone downhill. It's not what it used to be. Fox used to report news. You know, they don't report anything. They just become a political platform. You know, there's no news involved in it anymore, for the most part.
No, it's all a bunch of crap and rhetoric.
I mean, there was a time when it used to be a good news channel, but not anymore. It's just all political rhetoric and, you know, soapbox crap. You don't ever hear any news off of it anymore. You know. Well, let's see. What else have I got here? Oh, I was checking some things out this week, and I came across a good one: 8 phony bargains and better alternatives. A lot of these things shocked me. You know how you think you're getting all these great discounts and big sales and freebies and stuff?
You mean at the dollar store?
Yeah. At the dollar store. Now, actually, these are big things that people actually think they're getting deals on. Major things like unlimited long distance and frequent flyer reward cards and crap.
Yeah.
And those are just two of the things. Unlimited long distance. They talk about plans like bundle plans with free unlimited long distance services. And they say if you actually don't make a lot of long distance calls, it's crap.
Yeah.
You know, you end up wasting a lot of money on those long-distance plans. Because they actually, according to the Federal Communications Commission, about 17 cents a minute is what you end up paying on those things.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's if you don't make a lot of long-distance calls, you're actually paying more for the damn thing.
You know, so
it's actually not a deal at all.
AT&T is going to start limiting people's bandwidth or their amount of data they can transfer on their cell phones, because so many people are using their cell phones to get on the internet, do conferencing and crap like that AT&T is going to put a clamp down on that, give you a couple plans, you know.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised either, because there was a guy talking about it saying, you know, they couldn't keep supporting the unlimited bandwidth thing because it's just too many people using too much, transferring too much data, you know, to their phones now. Because your phone does every friggin' thing except for give you a blowjob and cook you dinner these days.
I wouldn't be surprised if they came up with that one next.
I'm sure they're working on it in a laboratory somewhere as we speak.
You know, there's some little geek out there. What
we
do you call it?
Just
computer
get this
nerd,
thing
you know?
To give blowjobs. We could be millionaires.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody's trying to figure that one out. That's old news. They've been doing that since the beginning of time. The first thing they invented on the internet was porn anyway. Let's see. Frequent flyer reward cards. That's another one. Credit cards that are tied to those airline frequent flyer miles or gift points.
Yeah.
Annual fees apply to most of those. And unless you fly a lot, you don't get the benefits of them. Some of the cards, like the American Express Platinum,
yeah,
actually cost you $450 a year. And if you don't fly, you're not getting any benefits at all out of it.
I see those American Express card advertisements all the time, though.
Yeah, well, the other thing is the airlines don't give you a priority, and a lot of times you end up waiting in line hoping you get a flight.
Yeah, it sucks when that happens, too.
Yeah, they recommend you try cash reward cards instead. And not those airline miles and all that gift cards.
Like that one with the Vikings that are on it? Is that like the... What's in your wallet?
Cash rewards. I think we just got one. You know, with all this crap we've been shelling out for the weddings and stuff, we ended up getting back, $75 worth of gas on those credit card things. You know, cash rewards.
Yeah.
They just gave us $75 in gift cards for, I think it was one of the gas companies. You know,
see,
so that's $75 worth of gas, and that's worth it.
I'm glad my credit's all effed up. I can't get a credit card. I don't have to worry about any of that crap. That's why I screwed my credit up, so nobody can take advantage of me.
That's another one. Checking accounts that pay interest, believe it or not. Interest-bearing checking accounts at traditional brick-and-mortar banks often pay only 0.13% interest, but require high minimums to avoid monthly maintenance fees for interest. A deposit of $3,400, the average minimum required to avoid monthly fees, according to Bankrate.com data, that amounts to $4.42 in annual interest. All right, so you're not earning anything. And you actually have to pay to have the money in the bank. You have to pay annual fees to have it in there, and you're only making $4.42 off of it. It's ridiculous. You're not making any money, and you're actually paying out of pocket to keep it in there. The overdraft protection, you know that fee where it says you write bounce a check or you overdraft, you got to pay $20 to $35. That's all included in there, too. And if you just keep up with your checkbook, you don't even need that. And so better deals, if you want to back up protection without the overdraft fee, just consider setting up an extra savings account that's linked directly to your checking account.
It'll roll over, right?
Right. So if you overdraft, they just take the money directly out of that account.
Excuse me. Sorry. That
was it good beer or good bird?
Yeah, it was good beer. Sorry.
Extended warranty protections. Total crap on a lot of stuff.
I never get those extended warranties. I'm like, what? When they ask me that, I go, why the F would I be buying this thing if it's going to be breaking in a year? You know what I mean?
Well, check your...
You should be able to take it back. And if it doesn't work, you should be able to take it back. You know, you shouldn't have to buy that extended warranty crap. They charge you up the ass for that.
Well, if you use your credit card or whatever, even your checking cards, if you just check the fine print on your existing Visas, MasterCards, or American Express, since many of the cards, particularly if they're platinum or gold, actually have an extended warranty for a year with them.
I got to see what color my card is now.
Yeah, just the credit cards alone have the extended protection. So
my card's only blue. What do I get for that?
You know?
It's not gold. It's got some silver on it, but...
Well, they
have it. No, it's platinum. It's platinum. It says platinum check card.
Well, it says particularly.
What the hell do I get for platinum, then?
It's on there, so...
Yeah, because I have Bank of America, and it seems like what I get for platinum is screwed up my anus. Thanks a lot. With a platinum dildo with the Bank of America logo on the side of it, and it hurts.
Put a smile.
I'll tell you what, Bank of America needs to get some Bank of America lube packets.
At least lube you up.
That dry anal sex is giving me a rash.
Amongst other things. Let's see. Going out of business sales. They actually don't offer any bargains that you expect. Shopping robots such as PriceGrabber.com and Shopping.com are actually good places to compare comparison shop instead of doing these going out of business sales.
I think it's NetTag. I think that's where we get our laptop out at. We got a great deal on a laptop. Costs us $200. Thing works like a charm. We love it.
Well, these going out of businesses are usually when they promote them, they're usually off the full price retail price.
Yeah.
That's 30% off. You know, they're not actually 50%, 60%, and 70% like they say. They're actually 30% off the actual retail price. You know, they're not. They don't work out to be what it is. They're not off the wholesale price. They're off the retail price.
Yeah.
So you're not really saving anything. You're better off going into one of those online things like PriceGrabber.
Before we go any farther, you want to tell people where they're listening to us at? We forgot to do that today.
Oh, yeah, we almost forgot that. You're listening to us on ReaperRadio.net and Jackalope 105 FM. Of course, we are sponsored by Haunted America Tours. So check them all out and be sure to tune in right here on ReaperRadio.net and join us in the chat room, too, every week. So you can tune in, chat with us, and if you have any questions or comments, you can also call us at 559-316-4737.
I think a bug just flew in my ear.
Again?
Off topic, sorry. Go ahead.
Did a bug fly in your ear again?
No. I think it just was a piece of my beer label probably got stuck in my ear. It's cool. I'm all good. False alarm, sorry.
Paying for a credit report. You know these things like freecreditreport.com?
Yeah.
Total crap. Because what happens is it says that it's free, but you got to read the fine print because what it says is you get a 7-day free trial membership in a credit monitoring service. After that, you're actually billed $14.95 a month until you stop the service.
They trick you.
Yeah. So actually,
all those limited free time offers always trick you.
Yeah, that's common practice. But if you actually do visit annualcreditreport.com instead, it's a government-approved website. You can actually check and get a free credit report from each of the three major credit bureaus once a year. So you don't have to pay for all of this. You don't actually get that. Or you can get your current score and report from Equifax or TransUnion for just $16, a one-time report. Or you can do that every year. You don't have to do all this free credit stuff and pay monthly fees for it. That's just rip-off stuff when you think about it. All that theft identity stuff. If you do that theft identity stuff, it's even worse. The fraud alerts, identity theft protection, that's number 8 anyway. What they do is they automatically alert you to when somebody tries to steal your identity. That's another scam because what they do is actually just do that. But it's something, you know, it's not necessary unless your wallet's stolen or something else actually happens that would put you at risk. What you really need to do is just monitor your monthly credit cards and bank statements, and you don't have that problem, you know. The real problem with those kind of things is if you ever try to open a bank account or try to apply for credit or do use your credit cards and stuff or bank cards, it actually makes it harder for you to do a damn thing because they're going to you know, question that it's really you. Every time you do that, because that fraud alert's up.
The hell
is
that?
What's that?
What the hell was that noise?
I have no idea. Oh, I didn't hear it.
Well, came from your end, so I was just going to ask.
That might have been the table. Or the desk.
Okay.
I blew my feet off the desk. Cool. That might have been a squeak off the desk.
What's next on the list?
That's it. Those are the 8 right there. Yeah. And I just... you know, that's common stuff that everybody thinks about. Most of the big things that people think about all the time is being major benefits, when really, if you stop and think about them and look at them, they're actually the biggest scams that we get involved with.
Let the buyer beware.
Yeah. You know, it's really surprising what how people fall prey to those things.
I'll tell you what, the saying that if it's too good to be true, it probably is getting truer and truer every day, I think. Every time
Definitely.
I see something, I'm something like what we've been talking about. Disgusting.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
I'm never surprised.
You know, what disgusts me the most is there's no more free porn on the internet except for RedTube. You gotta pay for everything.
I don't know. There's a couple of them out there.
Oh, really? You want to give the links on the show?
Yeah, what is it? Mushroom Tube?
I guess there's freeviewmovies.com.
Yeah, there's a couple of them out there.
And then there's RedTube, is that .com? RedTube.com, if you like to watch porn, because we, you know. That recommendation comes from our lovely producer, who is at this moment trolling through my friends list looking for hot chicks to add on Facebook.
Yeah, with that we were discussing that prior to the show. Which, by the way, definitely check out the Facebook page as after our show here. Let's see. Oh, and the other thing. Rue McClanahan, by the way. You know the Golden Girl?
She was hot when she was younger, man.
Yeah, she was. She was the Southern Belle, one of the Golden Girls. Yeah, she died.
Did you see the pics of her when she was younger?
Yeah, she was hot.
She was a pimp girl.
She looked good as she got older. I mean, she was 79.
Like old women.
Well, she didn't look bad for her age. I mean, she really never did look bad for her age.
Would you do her?
Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far. You know, I've heard of cougars, but who really looks good is what's her name? The blonde. Oh God.
The blonde that narrows it down.
Yeah, but it's on the tip of my tongue.
The blonde on the tip of your tongue?
Oh, come on, I can see her now. Not Sybil Shepherd. Oh God, what is her name? No. I'll think of it before the show's over.
Blame you, Ed, for having the hots for the blonde on the tip of your tongue.
It's going to drive me nuts now. I can see her picture. Someone was just talking about that not too long ago. Maybe I was watching it on VH1 or MTV. Oh, God. Sitna. God. That's going to drive me crazy now. That's one of those things, you know. Anyway. Big news, of course, we all know about the Arizona stuff and the immigration stuff. That's kind of old news, but...
That's hurting them now, though.
Well, interestingly enough, I did learn something. I've actually read the law. It's not much different than the law that's already in place, the federal law. It does have a few different issues. But what I did find funny is that Eric Holder, the Attorney General, who's so hot and heavy on this, admitted he hasn't even read the law.
I know, I heard that this week.
You know, and I thought, you know, how can you complain about this law when you haven't even read it?
Well, you know, what was funny is the governor of Arizona met with the president and said, you know, we're hoping that we can work together to find solutions to this immigration thing, and I hope the government doesn't back down. It's like, God, she's, you know what, that chick has huge balls. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, she's no holds barred. But when I read this thing, it really doesn't read that bad. What it says is you break the law, and you know, we have the right to check your immigration status as part of your background check.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is the abuses that come with the law. And we've all dealt with cops, and I know that I've dealt with cops. And you know what? When you put those kind of laws in place, there's a great potential for them to be used abuse. In the wrong manner.
Right, but that's with every law, any law and every law.
I know,
and
but you know what? Especially there. And then it targets Mexicans, man. It's easy. I mean, it's simple. It targets Hispanics.
It targets Hispanics, just like other laws target African Americans. It's the same old thing, but the way the law reads is not what they're making it up to be. Now, granted, it does target, you know?
Racist.
It is racist, but... the way it reads is not, you know, that's where you run into things. What I do find, you know, difficult about it, and I have a problem with, is you have to consider all these immigrants who are illegal. Okay, they come over and they are illegal, but they have a child here, and that child is born an American citizen. How can anyone say you can kick a parent out, but the kid can stay?
I know, but you know what? How responsible are those parents anyways? You know what I mean? To have the kid and put the kid in that position, I'm not saying that you should kick him out, you know, but I'm saying, you know, goddamn people are stupid these days.
Well, you know, think
about it. It's just like, when we were on BART the other day, we went to San Francisco, there was this chick that came on the train, and she had this court order saying, I've been a victim of domestic violence. She had a daughter with her, and she had a crutch, right? and she was pregnant. And she was like, I don't want like to do this, but I need money to help my family. And I've been a domestic violence victim. And I was looking at her going, you know what? If you have these problems, if you don't have a family that's coherent, if you're not sure about your relationship, why the F would you have another fucking kid?
Oh, yeah, I see that all the time.
You know what? That's what I don't get. You know, it's like if you don't have a coherent family unit, okay, and why would you continue having children and getting knocked up? I mean, birth control is free. You can go and get it at Planned Parenthood very easily. Or, you know what you can do? I don't know. Use the pull-out method. Give blowjobs. Get yeah, a damn well, sock.
We were down there, Christ. Similar thing. We were on the streetcar this weekend. Didn't
yeah.
realize you guys
well,
done.
She was on a shelter
this weekend. And it was the same thing. Pregnant woman sitting on a sitting on the streetcar pulling the same crap. You know?
And I'm not going to say in
I
all
this stuff. It's ridiculous.
It happens too much. And that's why I hope they start this drug testing. If you're on welfare, they should drug test you. That's easy. I think that's very easy.
Oh, that should be a part. I didn't realize it wasn't here in California.
Nah, they should have been doing that a long time ago.
A lot of states is mandatory anyway, but
should
they
be
should
mandatory.
Have been that all the time.
I don't want to see. You know what? I don't mind helping people that need help, but I'm not going to help people that need help to do dope. You know, if you want to do dope, that's all. You know what? That's your choice. Okay, to be honest, it's your choice. Get an effing job. Support your own habit. I'm not going to pay for it. If I wanted to pay for dope, I'd buy my own freaking dope.
Well, especially with these programs for pregnant women, women in crisis, pregnant women, you're doing that with your kid.
Yeah.
You're hurting your kid, especially. There's no way that that should ever happen. They should definitely test that, if nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to join a program like that. They should be tested.
I keep getting kicked out of the chat room, so I'm not in the chat anymore. I keep getting kicked out. I don't know why.
Kicked out of the chat.
I get kicked out of my own chat. I don't know why. It just keeps kicking me out, so I'm not going back in there anymore. You guys
Polly's probably kicking you out. Our producer Polly's probably doing it.
No, it's not kicking me out because somebody's signing in. It's just kicking me out. I don't even know why. Sucks. Stupid computer. Damn technology.
And there you go. Technology. That's another thing. I think we're on technology overload, which is going to, you know, kind of go into... We take a break now or we can wait.
You want to take a break?
There's technology overload. Yeah, because I think when we come back, our next subject's kind of big. But way we can go into it. Oh, I guess we can start on this before we take the break. Maybe we can come back into
it. We got to talk about BP, too.
Yeah, well, this kind of leads into that.
Okay.
Is how this recent Gulf crisis has kind of led us, you know, this is a good sign of how we are reaching that point. You mentioned earlier about the technology and the AT&T going into this thing with the overload of the internet on iPods and things like that, or what do they call them, Blackberries and stuff.
Well, now I think it's the Android and the iPhone and the iPad that are taxing the data stream or the bandwidth. I've got another little bit I was reading today too about what position we are as far as internet speed and we're falling pretty bad. I'm gonna play a little Local H, Born to Be Down. This is Dread Radio. We will be back in 3:45.5. Don't touch that mouse button.
I think you'll get used to
You're listening to Dread Radio with myself, Reepso, and, of course, Ed Kraft on ReepRadio.net and Jackalope 105 FM. We're talking about rip-offs. I think we're going to talk about technology now, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and we were talking a little about technology and how it's gone awry. I mean, we were talking about the bit with the bandwidth of all this stuff and how AT&T is overcharging, but there's a bigger issue with it all.
They're not overcharging it. They're just putting a cap on it. I don't know if overcharging, I guess, would be a matter of opinion, but they're putting a cap on it and giving you limits, and if you go over those limits, then they start to overcharge you.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's all overcharging, but that's another ball game. That's personal opinion. You know, I'm one of these people that just carries around a regular cell phone. That's all I need. But, you know, the technology's gotten so overloaded these days. It's like we have so much of it, and we don't know what to do with it. You know, it's out of hand. And when something goes wrong with it, we don't know how to deal with it. You know, you remember that, what is it, 2000 scare in the year 2000? We were all afraid that we were going to end up in the dark ages.
That had potential, though, you know what I mean, to actually screw us up. That was very, very, I don't know if it was poor planning. It was very unfortunate, though, because that had potential, and they did it. There wasn't a lot of upgrades done to help prevent that from being a pain in the ass. I think it all helped, you know.
But it just goes to show you how dependent we become on our technology and how we don't have backup plans or contingency plans for all this technology.
Well, I think
if it goes,
the problem is,
we're
progressing too fast now. I mean, you know, Moore's Law is still in effect and still holds true. And I've always found Moore's Law to be amazing. And Moore's Law is, well, part of it is that processing power will double every 16 months at least.
That's
so your
true.
Processors and your computers will double in speed every 16 months. Okay, that's not the full law. There's a little bit more to it, and I'm just kind of giving you the layman's version of it.
General
but
terms.
It's held true, and you know what? Moore quoted that law or came up with that law in the 60s.
And that was, believe it or not, that was like the early times, too. I remember when they first started.
That's
with
when computers were, yeah, you know, computers were as big as your house. Literally as big as your house. Hard drives were as big as your kitchen table. I mean, there was a place called Weird Stuff that had one of the old hard drives, and it wasn't as big as a kitchen table. It was maybe as big as a coffee table. The thing was freaking humongous.
You we know, went to one in San Mateo. Well, maybe that was the first television. But you remember the first small computer was one of those little blue computers you put together?
Oh, you're talking about like a piece kit computer?
Yeah, you had to put the whole damn thing together yourself.
Yeah.
Then I remember the ones that, and I had one. It was one of the little Texas Instrument ones.
Yeah, the Commodore 64.
Yeah, the little Texas Instruments you plugged into your TV.
Yeah.
You had to write in basic code to make it do anything.
Yeah, and I've worked with old scoring systems that were working off 286 systems. They were Xenix based and Unix based. So I've worked with Xenix quite a bit, and you know Xenix was back before, and I've worked with DOS too. You know, back I have a great copy of DOS 2.1 still brand new in the box, sealed up.
God,
I love it. It's awesome. I bought it for like, I think I bought it for a dollar somewhere. I'm just keeping it just because it's just cool, you know. But I remember the Commodore computers. My dad used to write on Commodore computers. He did a lot of writing, so he wrote on the Commodore because there was a word processing program. It was actually the first word processing program that people in our economic bracket could afford, you know. It was cheap. And so he did a lot of writing in his Commodore 64, and they were all saved on, you know, five and whatever inch discs. 5 1/4 inch, yeah, it was 3.5, 5 1/4, always getting mixed up.
But those huge floppies.
Yeah. Years later, you know, when the PCs were in and the Commodore was long gone, he still had the Commodore. I had to go find new hard drives or disk drives for it because the disk drive had gone bad. But I actually interfaced a Commodore 64 to a PC. It was very tricky because the Commodore used such a different code that if you did it wrong, it would overwrite your hard drive and it would never be able to get it back because the Commodore couldn't, it would overwrite your hard drive, but once it overwrote it, it couldn't access it because it couldn't understand the sizes and it couldn't understand the data, the way the data was saved, so you were kind of screwed. But it was fun to try and get his writings translated from a Commodore 64. I had to have an emulator for a PC. So I got an emulator and actually transferred all his writings over to Microsoft Word documents. It was kind of fun to do. But it was amazing thinking about that, the way we have progressed. You know, when I was doing that, I was like, wow, this shit has changed so dramatically. It is incredible.
I can remember the first game on my Commodore. It had, it was one of those, almost like Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing, but you could tell it, you have to go up, you have to go left, you have to go right, and you would run into something once you got there, and it would kill you once you got there. You didn't have a lot of options. It was a word game, you know? Yeah. It didn't have all the computer graphics. You just had to type it in and that kind of stuff.
You remember the old message boards that were all programming characters for all the artwork? And if you wanted to download a program, you had to upload a certain amount of data before you could download a certain amount of data.
Yeah, God.
You know what? We know what's funny is my daughter's 17. I remember I bought my first computer when she was born. It was in 93. What? No, it was running Windows 4.1, I think. It wasn't even Windows 95 yet. No, it was Windows. It was Windows 4.1 was the first Windows operating system that I ran on a computer. And then we got Windows, 4 point something, and then I think 95 came after that. I remember Windows 95 was on like 18 disks, 3 3/4 inch or 3 1/2 inch disks to upgrade, you know, from Windows 4 point. I don't even remember now. It's been so long. But I had a 4800 baud modem. That's what I used to get on the internet, and I had Prodigy. I didn't like AOL even back then. I had Prodigy, and I remember going on there, and I loved Prodigy because of the message boards, and you could get porn back then even. It took forever to download a picture of a naked chick, and if she wasn't hot, you were like, fuck, I waited all this time, this chick's fat.
Yeah, and it came across the screen, any picture came across the screen, one line at a time.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It came one line at a time, she were like, okay. So far, her boobs are looking at. Oh no, oh no! Rolls. It's like you're like watching the one line of rolls of fat come up, and you're just like, God damn it! Stop download, stop download. It wouldn't work. You're like, stop
then
download.
Then you got to her floppy drives, you know. But
yes, my producer has some experience with that too. She's like giving me some of her own memories. Bless her.
Not to mention the modem. Not to mention those modems. You actually had to take your phone off the receiver and put down on the modem.
That was for the Commodore. They had a modem, actually.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about the Commodore 64? Is there is a very dedicated fan base for that still, where they actually still use it to get on the internet. They can still use it. You have to have the right hardware, you know, right interfaces. But you can actually still get on the internet with the Commodore 64.
You're kidding me.
No, you can. You know what? It is a cult following for that thing. You know what? If I still had all the pieces, because I had a crap load of Commodore 64 parts trying to do this emulator thing. You know, I had all kinds of parts for it. And I actually I had a friend who had a box of modems, and they had all kinds of cool crap for the Commodore 64 I never even knew existed. It was so fun to take and just mess with that stuff. And I was going to message boards, and I was looking for emulators, and I met a lot of cool people, you know, and they gave me some insight, but there's a lot of people like programming emulators and stuff, and I had all kinds of cool stuff for the Commodore. It was amazing the capabilities that little simple computer had. It was really, really cool.
Speaking of that, I found something really neat. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, my dad loves Doctor Who.
What are they? Not the TARDIS. The bad guys. Not the Cybermen.
When I was a kid, when I watched it, so I'm not that familiar with it.
Oh, come on. There's worse enemies besides the Cybermen.
I don't know. My tongue. Look it up on Google.
Somebody help me out. Well, anyway, the Daleks. Daleks. Nobody actually.
Yourself. Good.
Dialects. Yeah, the dialects. I found a thing where they actually show you how to make these things, and you could sit in it and drive it around. It's actually a working dialect. It talks like it, has a flashing light. Drive it around, and it's just like the one they use on the series. It's pretty cool how they make those things. Some guy figured out how they did it with all the electronic parts and computerized shit in it. And it drives around, looks like a real robot and stuff, and you're just sitting inside of it making it work. It's pretty cool, speaking of electronics and stuff, and computers and crap.
Phone's ringing, you might want to get that. It might be the phone.
Yeah, I did. I just hung up on them. No, actually, it's, well, they're calling here, and it's like, you know, you do realize this number's for a deaf person. I don't know why they call here, but they do it. Usually, it's usually Teresa's son's school, and it's usually a recording at this time of night. You know, they do that, inform them. It's the same old thing. It's just a recorded message. I don't know why they do that for parents. But anyway, back to the topic with the overload on technology. Other things they do is just so incredible. Now we have, like you were talking about, with these handheld computers, essentially, is what they've gone to with this stuff.
You know, they made a transistor. I think it was seven atoms, right? Am I right about that? I can't remember. It's a quantum transistor now.
What are we going to do with this stuff? I mean,
going to advance. I think, I'm glad we're doing it.
I am too, but eventually it's going to be so damn small you're not even going to be able to type on it.
That's the problem, dumbass.
Getting smaller and smaller and smaller. You're not even going to be able to type on it. That's the problem with these things. You know, you're just going to have to implant
it. No, it's not a computer that's that small. It's a transistor. It's part of a process.
I realize that, but if you can get a transistor that small, somebody's going to try to put it in one of these things. You know, it's going to get smaller and smaller, just like everything else. The phones are getting smaller. The computers are getting smaller.
Yes.
Our whole thing in life is to make everything smaller.
Well,
now.
Look at nanotechnology. That's going to help us out a lot. I mean, it also has potential to be very dangerous, you know, so we have to be careful. And I don't know. Nanotechnology kind of creeps me out, to be honest. But it also has great applications where they're talking about in the future being able to send robots into your body to fight cancer cells, you know. And that's another thing, too. Did you hear about that vaccine that they came up with for breast cancer?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, there was a vaccine that I think it was a school or a university in Cleveland came up. They finally isolated a protein that is unique to cancer cells in the breast for breast cancer. So they have a vaccine that gears your body up to fight cells that have that protein in it. But the only catch is women who are lactating also have that same protein, you know, in their breast, so they won't be able to use it. But it has potential, and they use it in lab rats. And it came out that the lab rats, they didn't, you know what? The breast cancer got fought off. And it's still in the very preliminary stages. And I'm not saying it's all be all end all, but I'm saying it's very exciting. And that's what we're using this technology for, to do these kind of things. We have to keep doing it. If we're going to live forever, we have to keep working on this.
Well, I know they came up with the vaccine for the cancer, the ovarian cancer, I believe it is.
Well, actually, those are different because those fight a infection or a bacteria.
That's actually a virus, I believe.
Yeah, those are different because they're fighting a infection or a bacteria. I'm probably not using the right words. I'm sorry. That fights that type of cancer. This actually fights the cancer itself. It's a far different scheme going on.
Hmm.
It's a totally different thing.
I know they've been doing work with cancer for years with something to do with sharks. They have looked into that for years, but they've never found anything workable.
No,
it's always been sci-fi, but they actually have been testing it.
The key has been to find something that makes a cancer cell unique. They can find that makes it unique, and because cancer hides itself, it pretends like it's okay, so your body doesn't fight it off. That's the trick about cancer. If they can find proteins unique to cancer cells, then they can find a way for your body's immune system to fight it. And all you have to do is you give this is, and I'm, you know what, I ain't no freaking doctor. This is just from what I've read and learned, is if you can get your body to recognize, hey, these cells are bad, fight these cells off, and give it a protein to isolate, then your body will fight those cancer cells off.
Well, then that's the problem with the treatments we have today. Just like when you use chemotherapy or radiation, the problem with it is it attacks the good cells and the bad cells for that very reason.
But they have a robot now that uses a laser. Okay, it scans your body, and what it does is it directs radiation to direct cells in your body, so that it can attack just the cancer cells. And what it does is you lay on a table, and it's almost like a disco light head kind of. It rotates back and forth. It scans your body, and it finds these cells that are cancer cells, and it directs the radiation only at those cells. Your whole body doesn't have to take the treatment anymore.
Yeah, I've seen. I've actually seen those.
Yeah,
and it is
just,
much
this
better.
Was
than
last
the old.
Week, I read the article on this. This
yeah, I got the same article, but it's actually much better than the old the treatment, the older treatments for radiation.
Yeah, because the old one is you treated your whole body and good luck. You know, hopefully, it was kind of a roll of the dice. You were kind of you were hoping that the cancer died before you did.
Well, they actually tried to narrow it down to a small area, but again, it zapped everything in that area.
Yeah.
You know, it made you feel like crap because you were destroying so many cells. Good, bad, or indifferent. You were just basically wiping out the entire area.
Yep.
And nobody's, you know, that's not good for anybody under any conditions. But anyway, one of the things with this technology is we have all of it, and it seems to go to, when it does go to crap, we have technology to do things like drill way down into the earth, okay? And look where it's gotten us.
You know, now we've been drilling for over 100 years.
Right, but we go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the thing. As our technology advances, we get to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And we think we've got it all in the past. We build bigger and better oil rigs. We build bigger and better oil tankers. You know, and we think we've got all this technology down pat. We put computers in these rigs. We put computers.
Go ahead. You still there, Ed?
But, yeah.
You okay?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, well, I can hear you. Go ahead. Okay.
But what ends up happening is we end up with something like an oil spill that's going on now, and look what happens. When it does happen, we don't seem to have the technology to deal with.
You know what? The problem with the BP oil spill is not how deep. It doesn't matter how deep you go. If you have a spill, you have a spill. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? They're talking about doing shallow drilling now. They have problems with shallow drilling, too. You know, the problem with the BP oil spill is, in my opinion, is the previous administration, the previous oversight. Because there's an article that came out today where they're talking about the inspectors have been bought off for years by BP. You know, they send them on trips. They send them on trips to go see polar bears. They send them to football games. This was on ABC News. They sent these guys out. They bought them off, paid them off to look the other way. And you know what? Not to check the valves. Because you know what? Technology, we have technology. There's check valves there. But if you're not going to check your check valves and they fail, then we end up with what we have now. You know?
Well, I can understand all that. But my problem with the technology, we don't have the technology to deal with it once it happens. There was no contingency plan in place for these things. They tried, what now, three times?
There was
finally,
a contingency plan.
It
was a check valve. And no, the inspectors weren't checking the check valves, so they failed. That's where the problem comes in. There was no oversight. And that's where people, when you let some industries oversee themselves, this is what happens. You know, you cannot trust industry to oversee themselves. And I work for a corporation. You know, it's done me okay. But I know that the bottom line is what they look at, you know, and they don't look at the future. They don't look at the potential if you don't follow up on mechanical or technological machinery. You have to keep up on it. It's just like BART trains. I have a friend who works for BART, right? It's the Bay Area Rapid Transit System. It's a transit system in the Bay Area. Now, they change parts on those trains whether they're failing or not. They change them, and they do the same thing in airplanes. You know, any airline mechanic can tell you, you know what? We don't wait for it to fail. We change it when we know that its life is up. It might still be working. It might work another 10 years, but we don't give a shit about that because you don't want to fall out of the frickin' sky. And that's the same thing we need with oil drilling. I don't have a problem with drilling if you're gonna have the same mindset and change things when they need to be changed and make sure things are working when they need to be working.
Yeah, but that's not always true. There's been a few airline crashes where those parts have not been changed.
I know, but as a rule they do. I mean, I'm not saying they're perfect.
Rule.
I mean, we've had BART trains stop too.
And then, this, you know, is another one of those cases though.
Somebody did not check
that valve.
The problem is humans aren't perfect. You need to have oversight. And this guy that I know that works for BART is a supervisor. He makes sure that the crap gets changed. But you know what? People slack off in all careers or all professions, they slack off. Doctors fuck up sometimes too. They'll leave a sponge in you. How many times have you heard about somebody having a sponge or a medical instrument left in them? You know, nothing is perfect. You got to have some type of oversight. And from what I'm reading, there was no oversight at BP whatsoever. They're paying these guys off. And they were just running amok.
And that's what I was saying about the airlines. That has occurred in more than one airline as well. And, you know, when the planes crash, you still get the same thing. But when it comes to, okay, it's been done. What's done is done, and the oil has spilled. There is nothing in place to deal with that problem. As far as technology goes, there's nothing in place to deal with it. You know,
It was already supposed to be dealt with. There was already technology in place to deal with it. They had check valves. There was technology there to deal with it. The problem is that technology was not kept up the way it should have been kept up. The technology was there to stop it in the first place. But you know what? Technology is only as good as the people who make it or check on it. You've got to check on that. Now, once they had that pipe fall over, yeah, you know what? That's a tricky it wasn't supposed to happen in the first place. If they would have been doing their jobs, the inspectors, we wouldn't have this issue in the first place.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The
greatest minds in the world working on this right now, engineers, and you know what? They're having trouble. I'm hoping this sawing, I think they should have sawed the top off that thing right at the beginning and be done with it.
Yeah, see, that check valve is above water. It's not down there where the problem occurred.
No, it's down there where the water. No, it's down. It's down there. It's when it first comes out of the ground. That's where the check valve is.
How do they shut it off that far down?
It's automatic. It's supposed to be automatic. It's supposed to automatically shut it off.
Again, technology failed because it went unsupervised by humans.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Granted, it went unsupervised, but again, technology failed. For whatever reason, whether it was supervised or unsupervised, the technology failed.
I'll tell you what, technology would be a lot less likely to fail if we were inspecting it and making sure that it worked. They should have been testing that check valve.
I'm not even going to argue that because I agree with that.
Yep.
But the technology failed.
But it was not technology that failed. It was human failure. It was human error. They should have been checking that valve. If they had been checking that valve and it failed, I would say, oh, maybe technology failed. But you can't play that card because there was nobody looking at it in the first place. There was nobody checking that valve. There was nobody saying, okay, let's make sure this valve works. You know what I mean? It's just like if you go out to shut the hose off and the taps broke. You know, whose fault is that?
I think that's one that you know, I'm going to say that they didn't check it.
I understand your point,
understand
but I'm
that.
Saying in this case,
I'm still
going
like,
to.
This one
like
I'm going to go off failed. On. The technology failed, and yes, they didn't check it. If they had a check, if they did check it, could they have replaced it? Yes, but even if they checked it, how would they have known that it was going to fail? If it seemed like
that's
it was okay,
check it,
how would
you
they
check
know
it to
that?
See if it's working? That's all you can do is you can check it. I'm not saying that it wouldn't have failed. It could have very likely have failed still. But at least we would have been checking it, you know, and that wasn't
happening. And that's why I think that's where we're both kind of – it would have failed. It could have failed even if they had checked it, but it should have been checked. That's where I'm going with. In this case, it wasn't checked and it did fail.
Yes.
But now we have this leak and we don't have the technology to deal with it. You know, they cut that pipe, and it seems to be finally doing something. But why didn't they do that to start?
Stuck, so last I heard, the saw was stuck, and they were going to try it again, but they weren't saying when.
Yeah. It seemed at first work, and now they've screwed it up again. This is what, the third try? They're going to go for fourth?
No, this is plan G.
Yeah. Well, I think they're almost on Z at this point. Nothing they seem to do is working. And I'm looking at the latest study on this spill. It's already, it's going. They're expecting it to end up on the east coast of Florida already within the next few weeks. It'll already be on the east coast of Florida and starting to travel up the east
That's
coast
right.
of the United
and hurricane
States.
Hurricane season's coming too. If we have a hurricane, God help the whole eastern seaboard. They're screwed.
Yeah, it's actually worse toward the east coast than it is going through the western Gulf Coast.
That's because, I wouldn't say luckily, but the oil has not hit the shores, hasn't reached the shores. It's following the... And I saw they had a computer replication of where they think the oil is going to go. It goes right up the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, it's following the Gulf Stream.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned we were just in San Francisco this weekend, and there was shrimp, but it was bay shrimp right from here locally. And, I was still shying away from it. And then I went out to eat last night. We stopped to eat. And it's shrimp. It was regular shrimp. But, you know, the majority of shrimp in the United States actually comes from the Gulf. It doesn't matter whether you're on the East Coast or West Coast. Most of it is Gulf shrimp. You know?
Yeah.
I was terrified to touch shrimp. to be honest, because most of it comes fresh or within the last week. You know, I'm terrified to eat shrimp out of the Gulf now, or any seafood out of the Gulf, because a lot of our seafood does come from the Gulf.
Yeah, it does.
You know, unless it's local out of the Pacific, like Dungeness crab or something like that, or comes out of the northern waters, like king crab or something like that, I'm terrified to eat it. And if that oil spill goes even further north, I won't even touch Maine lobster. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm going to have that problem, too. I usually eat lobster almost every night. Now I won't be able to eat it. It's going to break my fucking heart. I can't afford lobster. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, it's extremely rare for me to eat it. But it's one of those things that, you know, it terrifies you to think that, you know, one food source is going to be that badly damaged.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not just that one food source. I mean, you got to think about mercury levels in seafood all over the country. I mean, all over the world.
True.
The mercury levels, you know that. You live next to the bay. Have you seen the signs? You know?
Yeah.
Don't eat what you catch, man, because there's so much mercury in there, it'll effing kill you.
Well, and that's another funny thing. I sit there and I watch all these people sitting there fishing next to it, and I'm going, God,
they love the fish out there, but I'd always, whenever I go out there, I go, don't eat that, don't eat that. You know what? Jesus.
Low tide, you see these, you know, you see these Pleocostomus, or I guess they're Pleocostomus.
Yeah, it's called Pleocostomus, yeah.
Yeah, they're sitting there, and they'll wash up. I'll see 10 or 15 of them when it's low tide, and we go walking by the levee here. There's 10 or 15 of them washed up, and they're dead as a doornail. And God knows what killed them, sucking all that crap on the bottom here. It's like, oh, my God, you people are fishing this stuff?
I'll tell you what, in the San Francisco Bay Area, it's better towards San Francisco. But when you get down to where Ed and I live, there are alarming levels of mercury in the water and in the seafood and in the aquatic life here. It's very, very disturbing, because we've been tossing this crap in the bay for so many years. It's not going to be gone in my lifetime, you know?
No, and the further south you go toward San Jose, the worse it gets, because it gets more industrial, too.
Yeah, and you know what? We're pretty far south here in Fremont.
Yeah. It seems like the further you go toward the industrial areas, the worse and worse it gets. South San Francisco is really bad toward that area, where they run all that crap off.
Yeah.
You know, they direct it all into the bay.
That's because, everything ends up in the bay. Everything ends up in the bay. And that's why on all the sewer grates you see, don't dump. This goes to the bay. You know, but I remember when I was a kid, we dumped everything into the damn sewer. You know, it was like a disposal. We didn't care.
Yeah, well, I remember in Florida we did that. Now they've got all these rules where you can't dump anything. It all goes out to the sea, and they finally put a stop to all that stuff. Now here we are with this major problem. They're dumping oil. It's not even being dumped out there. It's coming right out of the earth out there.
Yep.
Thanks to this stuff. And look what it's going to do to us now. Nothing's surviving, not even wildlife. And that's what really bothers me. It's getting into the marshes and wetlands. It's not just in the oceans now.
Yeah, I know. The Army Corps of Engineers is actually doing a pretty decent job trying to stop that from happening. But you know what? They can't stop what's already happened. And that's what's funny, too, is I know that the waste management control, where the dump, if you will, is right there on the bay, man. Right there in the wetlands, right off the wetlands, you know. And you know all that crap we've been dumping for 30, 40, 50 years, and the water comes down through that, it's going into the bay and carrying all that crap out into the bay. It's too close to it, man, you know. And that was because back in the day, that was a safe place to dump. I know that up in Hayward, just north of me, there was a dump called Turk Island. I used to go there when I was a kid, man. They did not give a crap what you threw away. They didn't care what they put in that landfill, and it is right there on the bay. You can't tell me that the water isn't going down through the soil and coming back up into the bay because the water table's pretty high here. You know?
Yeah.
It kind of bothers me a little bit, but what are you going to do now? What can you do? You can't do shit.
Nothing.
You know, you can correct your behavior now, but you have to pay for your past behavior still.
And you go into this whole thing with the oil spill, BP. Look at Louisiana. These poor folks have just gone through. Look, they're not even fully recovered. Believe it or not, they're still not completely recovered from Katrina.
Yeah.
You know, they really aren't. And here they are fighting off oil on their shores.
Yep. All right. It's about time to wrap it up today, Ed.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry, we only got 3 minutes left. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's usually the way it works. We always end up getting into it, and it gets good, you know? That's the way it is here.
Yep. Dread Radio, every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific. We're here every Thursday.
Don't forget Reap So Radio.
Every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific and Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific. I want to thank the beautiful producer today, and I want to thank you, Ed Kraft, for hanging out with me for an hour. This is always good.
Got to enjoy it. Right here on ReapRadio.net and Jekyll at 105 FM, sponsored by Haunted America Tours.
.com.
.com, yeah.
All right, Ed, I'm going to send you the podcast in a few. I'm going to play a little of Marilyn Manson, The Not So Beautiful People, to wrap up the show.
All right. Thanks for listening, folks.
Talk to you later.
Nowhere, take it easy.
Nowhere.
For the record, people aren't that beautiful. They kind of suck.